They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me on the Commons today, I have an old friend, Dr. Gary Solomon. Dr. Solomon has been an incredible resource. He's been doing so much research, and he has some marvelous websites. And Gary, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. And also,
always a pleasure, Sue.
You want to give us your websites, your articles, and where people can
sure.
read all of this?
Sure. You can go on to HOA Crisis in America, which is a free audiovisual book. You can go into HOA Syndrome, which is a series of research articles that I've written in a wide range of subjects dealing with the effects of the homeowners association on family life, on equity, on stress, all of these issues.
You also did some research on elder abuse as well.
That is correct, and that's also on the HOA Syndrome site, dealing with elder abuse as it relates to homeowners associations.
I'm hearing from more and more elderly people, and they're one of the vulnerable groups, aren't they?
Oh, no question. They're pretty much on their own. As we get older, we simply don't have the energy, nor the resources, nor any of those things to be able to see our way through it. And the elderly are extremely vulnerable with respect to what the HOAs are doing.
The fair housing laws, in the fair housing laws, the government is supposed to protect some of these groups, and the elderly, the seniors, age, they're a protected group. Why is it that they're not being protected? Any idea?
Yes, Sue, there's just no money in it. If we look at the money that's on the HOA side, the attorneys, repair companies, any number of things that are working for the homeowners associations, there is a boatload of money. But there is no money with respect to the elderly and what it is that they can do and what kind of a battle they can fight. So they've got no place to go to get the necessary help.
The government is supposed to, I mean, they've got two sets of laws, and these laws are protected. They're enforced by the government. And I know we're trillions of dollars in debt, but they're supposed to be taking care of that. Is it because the elderly don't know how to get to it? Is there not enough?
I would suggest, Sue, that there just isn't the legal support there because there's no money to pay the attorneys. They're pretty much all on the side of the HOA, and these various organizations don't want to hear much about the need and the charity and the support and all of those things. They want to be left alone, and they want to simply go on their own.
Well, CAI has come up with a whole new attitude towards pets, and I had someone from CAI on, or an attorney who represents HOAs last meeting, and I asked him, I said, what's the about face? And he says because he thinks it's because they have lost so many of these cases in court that CAI is now putting on Pets on Parade, and, you know, they're going to dedicate an entire magazine for...
Sue, I apologize. You're fading away.
Again?
I don't know what's causing the change in volume, but as you're talking, it goes further and further in the background.
Okay, how's that?
Not much different.
How's that?
About the same.
How's that?
It's the same.
That?
That's better.
Okay.
Are we good? I will listen closely.
Okay. I said that last week I had an attorney who represents associations on, and I asked him about the about face that CAI has with pets, because before it was pets were going to devalue property and you couldn't have a pet and pets were going to do this, that, and the other, and they just went looking for pets and finding people, and now they're dedicating an entire issue of Common Ground to pets. They're putting Pets on Parade. They're going to have pets at the CAI National Convention. They want you to send in pictures of your cute pets and all of that. And so I asked him, I said, why the sudden change in attitude? What happened? He said he thinks, he didn't know that because he's not involved at that level, he thinks that it's because associations have been losing, and they get fined big time when the government goes in and starts investigating some of these pet issues. And
yes,
they've, because the associations have had to cough up a lot of money. So there may be a way of changing things one way or the other. So if pets are doing it, why not the elderly? Let's get that out there.
Yes. I wish I had better news, Sue. I wish I could tell you that after all these years of doing the research, that the news is better. And it's just not. There is so much greed in the equity theft.
Mm-hmm.
So much greed in stealing the property away from these individuals that the profits are enormous. And people have turned a blind eye.
Yeah. We get, do we just get desensitized to all of this?
I believe we do. I think at some point along the way, apathy takes over. And we get tired of hearing it. And so we turn our back on it and say, you know, don't bother me. I've got a life to lead.
How about fear? How big a
fear
part does fear play in it?
Fear is a tremendous problem. I mean, the idea that I'm not going to be able to protect myself, that I'm not going to be able to see my way through this financially, emotionally, physically, tremendous, tremendous problem.
So if I'm sitting there and my neighbor's being harassed and abused, and I'm not, a lot of people are afraid of getting involved, and I think the reason they are is because they're afraid they're going to get targeted next.
Yes, sure.
And
sure, leave well enough alone.
Leave well enough alone. I support you. I agree with you. You're on the right side, but I'm not going to say a word. You're on your own out there.
Right. Right.
And that's
and
because
of
fear.
Inevitably, these people all need help themselves. But when that happens, everybody else is gone again.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing I've noticed recently, Gary, is the number of young people, people who are way too young to die, are just dropping dead. People who have been involved in the advocacy of HOAs, protecting property rights, they're dying in their 50s and early 60s.
Yes.
Is that something you've noticed?
Oh, absolutely. The stress-related illnesses associated with the homeowners association continues to get worse. And as those stress-related illnesses come about, people, in fact, are losing their lives. And the HOAs and the management companies, they could care less because they're getting their money one way or the other.
So what does that say about us as a society, that we're allowing this to happen?
Yeah, it doesn't speak well for us. And I've watched this deterioration now for some time. And I would have thought that we would have learned an incredible lesson after the Second World War. This, in fact, is not the case at all. There's been very little learned. And if anything, they have now mounted up forces to be able to capture these properties and the equities and foreclosures, one after another.
That's got to stop. I think that the fines and the foreclosures have just absolutely got to stop. So any idea how we do that?
I don't think, that it's going to stop until a level of the government with high power. I'm talking about at the level of the President of the United States. Now, problem, we're dealing with Donald Trump, and if he's on any side, he's on the side of the Homeowners Association. He's a landlord, and he knows what it's like to make that money. And he's not going to do anything to get in the way of that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he understands that, and I don't know. It's always worth a try, but whether we can get in to see him, that's going to be a whole different issue, because that's going to be different. But I think we need to keep putting it out there. And you've been doing some research, and you've been following trends and looking at what's going on. Can you bring us up to date on what you're seeing
Sure.
and what you're noticing?
One of the things that I can tell you is that they're now looking for other ways, other avenues to go after the homeowner. For instance, vacation rentals. Now, whether one likes this concept or not is really not the point. The individual who has the home may choose to rent their home out as a vacation rental. And so now the city comes in and starts finding the homeowner. And the HOA comes in and starts finding the homeowner. One after another, they make sure that the homeowner is powerless and has no place to go.
So what happens when we find everybody into oblivion? What's going to happen?
Boy, Shu, I really do believe that what's going to be taking place is, in fact, something that we learned from the Second World War, that we saw what we did to these people. We saw what took place. All the events that revolved around all of this. And the truth is that no one wants to step forward far enough to be able to get the job done.
You're saying that it's going to take someone who's really very dedicated, who's...
Enormous power. Enormous power. When you look at the multi-trillion-dollar debt that we are in as a result of our infrastructure. I had published on this about 2 years ago and tried to explain to people that the infrastructure is, in fact, what drives so much of the fines and so much of the penalties, because the government double dips by being able to do this. So now you, for instance, you're living in your homeowners association, you paid your taxes, you paid your fees, and those tax dollars were supposed to go to fix the streets and the lights and many combination of things. But the truth is, That's not happening. So the money then is double dipped on the part of the government, and so they get it twice.
We have...
This is not new news.
No, it's not.
New news here.
No, it's not. It's not at all. Because I actually talked to, he would not come on the show, the late Byron Hankey, who's largely credited for creating this mass-produced HOAs. And he went and talked to local municipal governments after World War II, when, you know, when there was some money and people had cars and they're building roads and things, and everything was being, the suburbs were being built on a grid, and he decided he didn't like the look of it. It wasn't very aesthetically pleasing, so he went and wanted mm-hmm. them to come up with curvilinear streetscapes and cul-de-sacs and, you know, dead ends, and he sold it as being a lot safer because people weren't going to drive through. They had to actually, it was a destination, you went there. And a lot of what he said was made a lot of sense, but what the municipal governments came back with was those streetscapes, those curvilinear streetscapes and the dead ends and the, you know, all of these other cul-de-sacs and things were actually going to be much more expensive to maintain. And he said, we'll just have the homeowners maintain it. So that's how...
Sure.
Yeah, so that's how it ended up. And the government said, okay, you know, if you can get the homeowners to maintain it themselves, that's fine. So that's where we ended up. But the thing is, people believe, because they've been told a lie, that the HOA protects their property values. No, it doesn't. It's just...
No, it does not.
...stealing from them.
It's a complete myth.
Yeah.
That the homeowners association protects the value of real estate. It's not true. And it is, in my opinion, inevitable that we're going to see the entire United States divided off and put onto a giant grid, and that grid is going to be divided off. And there's going to be more and more and more areas of revenue for the HOA and the association.
You know, we're dealing with different entities. I mean, we've got so many layers of government, so many people with their fingers in our pockets. You've got the federal government, and they're doing all the federal highways and the bridges and the, you know, all of that. That's their responsibility. Then you get into the states, and each state is responsible for certain roads and certain infrastructure, and then you get down to the local municipal government. In Fairfax County, where I live, the government, the municipality does not own any roads. They don't do anything, but they still double dip. They still have their fingers in our pot, you know, in our pockets, and they're always whining about being, you know, taxed. They keep increasing taxes and dreaming up more taxes, and you know, it's just ridiculous. But the thing is, do we need that many layers and layers and layers? And you never know who you're talking about.
I think that when greed comes into play. And we see the amount of greed that is associated with these various organizations, that I'm going to step in and I'm going to dip any place I can. And if I can't find it, I'll create it. So it's nonstop. And if you want to look at an example of that, look at the associations that are also managed by associations. So you have these super organizations, and then you have the sub-organizations, and then you have the government and the employees and so on and so forth. It's become, it's become such an act of futility to try and get people to understand what they're doing to their fellow human being.
It's unbelievable. I don't know if there's any way of stopping it. Have we just gone too far down that road?
I sure feel that we have, and I don't think it's going to stop unless some major tragedy takes place. That is to say, enough deaths at a given moment in time forcing the government to say, wait a minute, we got a problem here, and we need to solve this ourselves. Now, getting the people that are behind the profiteering, getting them to back away, this is asking a lot.
We need to, if we could just expose what's going on so people can see it, the amount of money some of these attorneys are making, we don't know that.
Yes.
There's so many stories of embezzlement by management companies and board members.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always maintained that what we see is just the tip of the iceberg. But if we could really go and dig in and see exactly what it's costing us.
Yes.
Not just...
Being able to do something about it, people like you, who are spending your own time, your own resources, your own money, trying to get the word out. I can't even get grant money to study it.
I haven't even tried to get grant money to get anything done, but we need it. We need to get this exposed. We need to dig in. We need to find out exactly what it costs. Harry homeowner, who saves money, works hard, saves money for a down payment, buys home sweet home. And it turns into an absolute disaster because that home sweet home is in an HOA.
As you're aware, I refer to this as multi-generational equity theft. And so a generation moves into the neighborhood. They've got that dream home, and they're getting older now, and they're getting ready to make sure that those assets are passed to their children. But those assets are being bled dry before they even make their way into the pockets of their children. Getting the children to become interested enough is very difficult because they can't relate to it, they can't see it. They don't realize how much money it has cost them, along with the fact that they're just trying to survive. So
it's not getting any easier for the younger generation, the millennials coming up right now.
It is not. It is not. And we're strictly seeing this problem continue to amplify and amplify over and over and over again. I am really disgusted that we human beings have allowed this to happen to our homeland. And while we'll show a news piece of a particular country who's being devastated by the war criminals, these are no different. These are war criminals. And they're stealing the property dry. And they don't care.
Gary, what's it going to take to get people to think? Because you tell someone something, they're just going to take you at face value. I heard a speech last night talking about bias, personal bias. And the guy who gave it, I mean, it was a Toastmasters speech, and I didn't go anywhere. But the guy who gave it had done his research, and it made perfectly good sense. You go into something, and let's say you're told something. No matter how many times you are later told that that is not true, you still cling to the belief of what you were told initially. It becomes a bias. You just never get rid of it.
Sure, the argument of convenience.
Say that again?
I've heard this before. I don't know where, but it must be true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we continue to do this over and over and over again. And the meetings that I've been to, and I've tried to bring this out in the forefront, and getting them to show anything but the malignant apathy is just impossible. And I realize that many people take the position, well, I'm just not going to buy into an HOA and I'm not going to deal with it. And it is inevitable that everybody is going to be struck with this.
Everybody. The thing is, they're not building anything other than HOAs. And so you say, okay, so what happened to all the stuff that was built before? Around here, they're tearing it down and replacing it with smaller high-rises, terribly built. Just really, mm-hmm. I mean, it's cardboard and scotch tape. I mean, it's absolutely
yep.
horrendous. $1 million, 500 square feet, cardboard, scotch tape. Maybe it will last 10 years. Maybe it won't. It's going to start sort of leaking like a sieve. And, I mean,
right.
that's outrageous.
Yep.
That's absolutely...
Yes, it is. And the problem continues to be that no one can say it loud enough so that we can do something about this collectively. And, again, I'm going to go back to my position with respect to the government. Until the government can step forward, until they can say, you know what, I'm supposed to be here serving the people, that this is my job. Not going to happen.
If we yell it and we say it loud enough and we keep repeating it, if people have got this built-in bias, and people are going to cling to what they were told, even if it is false and they know it's false. How does one get them to see the other side, really, to start seeing the truth, to forget what they know? Or
now,
think
sure,
they know?
The example that I use with respect to this is after the Second World War, people don't realize it, but the concentration camps were oftentimes built right in the mainstay of the city. And so here were all of these people living on the outside of the concentration camps. And they're smelling the smells and they're listening to the screams and all of this. And it wasn't until the townspeople were forcibly brought in to observe what they had turned their back on, that they got any reaction at all. So the reality is that people just don't want to be bothered with your complaints and your problems.
And they don't realize that these complaints and problems could very well be theirs tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to go back to the example with the children. I do believe that for many people, older adults, the goal is to be able to pass the net worth on to the children, to be able to allow them to bring that equity forward in their life and so on from generation to generation. Now, all of that equity is being bled off before the next generation can get their hands on the money. And you could say, well, look, it's $10 here. It's just a fine there. It's $25. But multiply that by the number of houses, by the number of legal assaults, and I'm referring now to the process, that take place against the homeowner to garner up this money. It's nonstop.
There needs to be, I think, a re-education of local municipal governments. I live in an area where a lot of old families were given land grants by the king before we became a country, before the independence of of America. And these people, I mean, you know, a land grant was not a quarter of an acre in those days. I mean, you're talking about a big chunk of money, or a big chunk of land. And the county government, and I'm so disgusted by this, but the county government seems to think that they are entitled to that land. And what they've been doing is it's economic warfare. They have been rezoning the land and then demanding tax revenues based on their rezoning. So it's not a chunk of land anymore. It is a million crappy little condos, if you will, that are valued at unspeakable sums of money. And so they go to the owner and they say, you owe us all this. And when I talked to one of the people in the county government, I said, isn't it terrible that Fairfax County is doing this to its own residents?
Yes.
She turned around and looked at me with so much venom in her face. And she says, it's not fair for these old people to sit there on all that land and not pay their school taxes. But they don't have kids in school. I mean, this was land that was subdivided. It was given to someone who then subdivided it and gave equal shares of fairly large chunks of land to each of its his or her children, and they in turn did the same thing. So you're talking about the multi-generational land, you know, the land thing that they're giving to their children, which is exactly what you're talking about. But they're stealing it from them. They're stealing it. An older couple, it's not fair. I go, but they don't have kids. They're not in the school system. What are you talking about? If they had kids in the school system, charge them for it. But they don't have kids in the school system. But there seems to be this sense that they are entitled to that money, to that land. So they force these people to sell them, and now you have all these little boxes that are sitting there. I mean, they're just unimaginative cardboard boxes held together with scotch tape, and you have someone running around with a clipboard saying, oh no, your numbers are not the same height. Your house numbers, and you haven't got permission for this, and did I hear a dog barking in there, and how much does that dog weigh, and how many, you know, I mean, that's not, the quality of life is gone.
Yes, and yes. And getting people to do something about that and getting people to respond, it's just very, very difficult.
But then you have the county who says it's ours, we're entitled to it. How are we expected to provide the schooling?
Yes.
And they think that you're being selfish and greedy because you're not giving it to them voluntarily? So
I think that, you know, the notion of being viewed as selfish certainly is a very quick deduction in terms of what the people are doing. It's anything but that. I want the generation to follow to be living a quality of life that's better than mine. And it's not happening.
Any advice for the millennials coming up? I mean, they're still living at home because they can't afford to move out.
I think if I could give just an ounce of advice, it's become concerned. Make the decision that you're going to do something about this and do it. And gather together the number of people that I have, tried to help in the community meetings has been extraordinary. And I can't get them to stay interested in concerned long enough.
I think we expect results immediately, and we just don't get them immediately.
Correct.
And they have to understand that this is long term.
Yes. And there's nothing short term or circumlocutive about this. This is going to be one brick at a time, and thus far it's not worked. So it's terribly sad, and I know that I won't be here to see it, but I've seen enough of it to know that it's going to get more and more horrible.
I keep hoping that we're going to stop the bleeding and sort of reverse things and shake people up and say, hey, come on, it's not protecting your property values. I mean, that's the biggest lie out there, and that's the thing that people have been buying into. It's like, oh, my property values. If I understand that they're doing this, and I understand that it's horrible, and I understand, but they're protecting my property values, so therefore it's got to be good. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. There's no value to your property if someone else is hounding you and harassing you while you're in there.
That is correct. That is correct. And, the greed. Greed is just horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yeah, we could... I know the greed's horrible. I know it's just terrible, but I think we have to expose it somehow. We need some really good investigative reporters to go in there and just dig and dig and dig and dig.
And the problem is they're literally, not figuratively, they're literally turned away at the gates.
I know.
And so they're not invited to do any reporting.
They've been physically thrown out of meetings. There was, in fact, in Nevada, Mary Lynn Ashworth, the first ombudswoman. She was small. I understand. I never met her. But she went to a meeting, and they picked her up, literally picked her up and threw her out.
Hmm.
And there was another guy, a photographer, who went... And he was an older guy. They took his camera away from him and threw it on the ground. And they shoved him and pushed him over on the ground. I mean, the physical violence is unbelievable.
Yep.
And this was before I even knew you. This was back in, the last century. The last millennium. It was back in the 1990s. 1998, that all of that happened in Nevada, in Las Vegas.
Yes. And as we're talking, getting worse by the moment. One would have thought by now it would have started to get better. But it's not. It's not getting better. And, making the change, getting people to change is just so painful.
You've been sort of absent a little bit. I know that you were frustrated. Are you re-energized? Sometimes you need to step away from...
I'm getting there. I'm probably more seeing things more clearly in terms of my own expectations. I was in tremendous denial about this. I thought for sure that all I had to do was inform people of what was going on, and they would say, well, thanks for letting me know, we're done. Not the case.
No.
They don't care.
No. Well, I don't know that if they don't care. You're the psychologist. How much of it is self-protection? Because there really aren't any alternatives. You know, you can't just move out. It's really difficult to sell your house, and some people think, I can't sell this mess to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just not right. It's just not fair. I mean, I've talked to so many people who've had such angst about unloading the disaster onto someone else that they just stay there and put up with it. And the reality is someone's going to be in that seat.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
So denial, not seeing a way out, not having an option, alternate option. Are there any cures for any of those?
I'm going to default back to what you've heard me say over and over. Not until a big enough disaster happens that makes worldwide news about the disaster that occurred, is anything going to happen? And a lot of people make their living off of this. And when in doubt, create more jobs so that we don't have to worry about having them change directions.
When I first got involved in this, my mother could not understand why I was doing it. And one day I went home and I saw her, because she lived overseas. And I said, she said she'd been listening to the news, and BBC had reported that a family in Maryland had got permission to redo their driveway. They had submitted mm-hmm. the plans, and the plans were approved. And one day a board member decided to go for a walk and happened to have a tape measure and measured the width of the driveway. And the driveway was an inch or two wider than the approved plans.
Right.
So they made them tear the driveway up and start from scratch.
Yep.
So when I saw my mother, she said, you know, I just heard this story. And she says, is that what you're doing? Is that what you're fighting? And I said, that's exactly what I'm fighting. It's the stupidity mm-hmm. and the arrogance and the unfettered power that these little thugs have to make someone
and
do
thugs
that.
Thugs is the right word. Thugs is the right word.
Oh, they are thugs. And, you know, and they go to court and the courts uphold that. That's absolute nonsense. And she said, I didn't realize it. I thought you were just off on some flight of fancy. I said, no, Mom, this is wrong. It's really, really wrong. You don't do this sort of thing. She says, I did not realize. But since then, and we're going back, and this was before I even started my show, so we're going back 20-some years when this happened. And the stories just go from bad to worse. Now they make you tear up a driveway because it's 2 inches too wide. Yeah, it's been done before, you know. We're used to that, and that's so wrong.
Right.
That is so wrong. We can't just accept that. And when I think one of the problems we also have is the vagueness. Everything is subject to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
The law says it has to be reasonable. What's that? What does that mean?
Yes.
Can you define reasonable?
Oh, not under these circumstances. Reasonable is whatever you make it of at any given moment in time. And so if you want to go ahead and change that reasonableness because it doesn't doesn't meet the convenience of the definition, well, then go right ahead. Because now the convenience is another term, another concept.
It's subject to interpretation. What you might think is reasonable might not be reasonable to me at all. If you're on the board or if you're the HOA attorney, what you think is reasonable might not be reasonable to a homeowner. You know, you have to be more specific.
Yes.
And
it's not going to happen as long as there's big money tied to it.
Well, as long as these damned attorneys write all the rules and the laws and the legislators just go along and rubber stamp them because they've been, you know, paid a certain sum of money.
Right.
You know, we'll just here's the law that I want you to write. I want you to sponsor it, and I want you to fight to get it passed. And here's $100,000, and here are tickets for a trip around the world. But you know, whatever it is, because whoever passes that is going to make so much more.
Yes.
If that passes.
Yep.
And
quite the carrot.
We've got to put a stop to that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's going to be possible right now.
It's got to.
Not with the amount of money that's involved in the whole process.
How do we go about getting a good, deep investigation of what's going on? How do we go about finding exactly what is being spent, what is being made?
I don't know, going back to what I said, that it will ever be possible as long as there are these small little local stories that have created problems. And I just don't know what the solution is.
Does it help? I've got a website from the HOA Trenches where I want people to send in their stories so that it's not a reporter mucking it up. It's not something that is just completely sensationalized because they want to sell newspapers, but where people can tell their own stories. And when the industry says, oh, that's just an isolated incident, I just want a whole website full of stories written by people in their own words to show the same pattern over and over and over again. It is happening. It's happening in Virginia. It's happening in Nevada. It's happening in Minnesota. It's happening in Delaware. It's happening all over the country. So
all over, yes, everywhere.
So there is a problem when the same stories keep repeating themselves. There is a problem.
And I think after a while, the apathy switches over to, I don't want to hear the story one more time. I just don't want to hear it anymore.
But should there be a collection of these stories? If we ever get...
Sure.
If we ever get a legislator who's really interested?
Sure, absolutely. Keeping a database, keeping all the information is crucial towards the end game. When that will happen and will it be too late? Well, as I said, there was a time that I would have bet that I could solve this problem.
I still think you can.
This far.
I still think you can. I still think you can. Sometimes you need a break. And sometimes you need just a fresh outlook and to come back.
Taking on the challenge.
So what's next on the agenda for Dr. Gary Solomon? Where are we going from here?
Well, I think much of the research that's been done is good and it's solid. And I don't think that there's a necessity to do it again, because the outcome is going to be the same. But rather to take the research, collect it, and look for that group who can take this on as a mission. And whether it be through a grant or a scientific study associated with that, any number of things.
Are we looking at the medical field? Are we looking, what, is it something that the NIH can take on and do something with?
They could, but the problem is that there is not the money there to incentivize them to do anything about it.
How much money are we talking about?
Oh, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Wow.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. Enough money to make it attractive on the other side of the fence to not want to take on that army.
So we're fighting money with money, basically.
That is correct, and that's always been the story, right? And hasn't that always been the way it is?
You know, somehow, I think there are more people on our side if we could just light a fire under them. What would all the money do when you end up with millions of people saying, that's it, no more?
Yep. Wish I could tell you the final answer on that, but I'm afraid that I'm not going to see it in my lifetime.
Would that work?
At the best. The best I will have done is planted the seed.
It's quite a seed, and I want to make sure that people go to your website. So you want to tell us what it is again? Where can they find it?
Go to HOA Crisis in America or go to HOASyndrome.com, and they can, once they're at those sites, they can open up a variety of sub-sites and articles on various issues, whether it be equity theft or child abuse or various issues that people would not have thought is taking place in these subdivisions as a result of the homeowners association.
What I love about HOA Crisis in America is that you can read it, you can watch it, you can listen to it, you can do a combination of all of those.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I wanted to make it as user-friendly as I possibly could.
And I think that was brilliant. I don't know how you thought about it, but I thought it was wonderful. And the neat thing is that you've also infused some humor in there, because this is a pretty heavy topic.
Yes.
And you've
and
also...
boy, it's tough. It's tough to say anything funny about this.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know it is, but you have to. You have to. I just love a lot of the humor that you've got in there, and a lot of the, the clips, and it sort of explains what you're trying to, the point you're trying to make, and you look at it and you think, now I get it. Absolutely right. I get it. I know what he's talking about. So when you wrote that some time ago.
That's about 3 years old now.
Wow. 3 years old, huh? Time flies. I didn't realize it was that old. But
yep.
Speaking of time flying, Gary, we're out of it.
Well, Shu, as you know, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you on the radio. And anytime you want me to join you, you let me know.
Oh, I will. I've got you in my speed dial, Gary. You're not going anywhere.
There you are.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Bye. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home, yet the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.